The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him saying, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Let him be crucified." And Pilate said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they yelled all the louder, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be upon us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man of Cyrene named Simon, and they compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among them by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" Now the bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." And at once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified, and they said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Please be seated. Today, Palm Sunday and the Sunday of the Passion. Now, there are some things that you probably need to know about the Gospels for tonight. The first Gospel is the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. He comes into Jerusalem as a circus This particular gospel misreads the Old Testament prophecies. He was to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Not hope. So Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, donkeys have a strange place in the history of Jewish kings. The kings of the Jews rode donkeys. They didn't ride horses. Horses were grand and great beasts who were the possession of great kings throughout the whole area, but not for the Jews. David rode a donkey. It was a sign of the king's humility. It was a sign that the king was subject to God, just like everybody else. Jesus, therefore, rides into Jerusalem as a Jewish king. And everybody is excited and thrilled. The second gospel that's read today is the gospel of the Passion. And in it, there are some things that you need to realize. Number one is that this is not a condemnation of Jewish people. That is far from the truth. It was those people who greeted him as their king. The ones who did not greet him as the king were the leaders who had a great deal to lose if Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Those leaders wanted to keep control. And if the Messiah had come, then they lost everything. And so they had a reason, a good reason, not to allow the people to welcome Jesus as their Messiah. It was not the Jewish people who greeted him as their king who later said, "Crucify him." It was their leaders instead. Their leaders did not expect the kind of Messiah that Jesus was turning out to be. They wanted someone powerful. They wanted someone who could let them govern. And they weren't getting that. And so they turned against him. Now, you and I are not there on the day of his triumphal entry, and you and I are not there on the day of his passion. But you and I have a decision to make during this time, during this holy week preceding Easter. Whose side are we on? Are we looking for the Messiah that Jesus truly was? Do we welcome him in our heart? Do we look to him for a way in which to lead our lives? Or are we sad and disappointed that he's not quite what we expected? Because he didn't do this, or he didn't do that, or he's left so much undone. You and I take sides this week. And that decision leaves us with a way into which we can see the future. Will it be a future of just holding on? Or will it be a future of journeying with the Messiah? Of going out, of being what he was and what he would want us to be. This week, that decision is yours. Amen.